ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hola, amigos. Let's have a little fun. Oh, my goodness. I definitely know it's not raining, that is for sure. Rafael Esparza in studio. Gonna have some fun. Guess what's coming out later today? The NBA schedule? What? Yeah, exactly. Are you ready for it? No?
It's gonna be an interesting season, I think, for both East and West. So
James Harden has already come out yesterday saying, if we're healthy, don't even bother. Can't lose.
I think the Bucks
undefeated season.
I think the Bucks and Heat have something to say about that. Especially the Heat
undefeated season. Hey, you know what? It's Friday.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
It is. Now you know, Rafael Esparza, that it is the weekend, sir. Not that you didn't know already, but without the music, I just say it doesn't seem the same for me, you know?
I don't look at weekends because I work seven days a week.
I got you.
There's no weekend for me. Well, I hate when people say happy Friday, I just want to punch
you. Let's see, you worked last night. Patriots taking on Philly, the greatest preseason performance of all time. Did you see, Rafael, the Patriots won 35-0. Over Philly, Jalen Hurts, there was a little scare, Rafael.
Tummy.
Yeah, well, tummy. You know, there was a reported illness, and then it came out as the game went along that it was a stomach thing, and, you know, he was seeing somebody about that. But, you know now, anytime somebody's sick, it's
I wish I was in corporate world right now, because I would call off all the time. I got a temperature, can't come
Stop
in.
Stop it. You can't do that.
Well,
you gotta
I can't,
work.
But I'm just saying.
35-0, we'll overreact on that, because Cam Newton had the greatest 8-for-9 performance ever per screaming A. Max Kellerman says that's fantastic. He is. Mac Jones, though, an outstanding performance, 13-of-19, 146. And a highlight that's going on and on and on is him. Snap. Under pressure, steps up, steps right, eludes a rusher, fires a rocket in between two defenders. Greatest throw of all time in preseason, and absolutely looks like Tom Brady. So since he looks like Tom Brady, they're already saying he's Tom Brady.
Well, I've been saying, I've said to you guys on Monday, I said to you last week, who's my Super Bowl pick? Mm-hmm. And it's the New England Patriots. I said mac and cheese is going to win them back to the Super Bowl. So last night I looked brilliant because they're going undefeated. 17-0.
Greatest preseason play of all time. So that's what it is. Tonight, Rafael, you got some work to do as well. Kansas City taking on Arizona. The Chiefs, 3-point favorites. 7 o'clock on ESPN. Then on the NFL Network, 7 o'clock as well. Cincinnati taking on the Washington football team. The Washington football team's 5.5-point favorites there. So for folks that want to, get a little extra cash here when you look at those two games right now, KC Arizona, what do you think of that?
Well, let me give you a quick recap of last night. The total opened up at 37.5, got bet up to 39, got bet back down to 37.
So a Philly scores
What was the final score when the fourth quarter started? It was 32-0. This is why you don't bet preseason games. Because the final score, 35-0, and all that money that people bet on the over.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Well, you're thinking that Philly would score in the game.
3 points. That's all you need. And so, I mean, tonight's game, I think I'm really interested to see what Arizona does on offense. I think we're all going to know how their defense is going to be. So I'm a little bit excited to watch them. And I'm excited to watch Washington on the defensive side of the ball. So I think those are only two things that I'm actually looking forward to, because I think we're all going to know what Kansas City is when the season starts. And we all know what Cincinnati is going to be when the season starts. If Burrow's healthy, they'll still carry the anchor in that division in the basement. But I think Saturday's games are a little bit more intriguing just because of the quarterback battles we haven't seen in the course of Monday night's game.
Already some people are saying Chase Young, heir apparent to Aaron Donald. He looks pretty dominant already. And he's played a season. That D-line is stacked, though. There's a lot more than just Chase Young there. And, oh, by the way, as you see over to my left, I have the Saints schedule on the wall. Saints, Washington, Sunday, October 10th in our nation's capital.
I think they're undefeated by then.
I wouldn't go that far. But,
you don't know what team I said is going to be undefeated.
You think Washington will be undefeated by then? You got you for a little bit here. Let's kind of go over who you think your favorites are and what the betting world thinks are the favorites as well in each division on the show here today here as well. So we'll touch on that.
It's not the Falcons.
It's not the Falcons. Speaking of, here's the NFC South over the weekend. Falcons, Miami. Miami's a 5-point favorite. That game is on Saturday tomorrow. Atlanta scored 3 points. My buddy Roy, who swears he's going to call this today to make sure that we all know and are aware of the 17-0 upcoming Miami Dolphins season. He's calling the defense the greatest defense ever. How good do you think Miami is this year? Because I think a lot of people have sort of looked at it as Buffalo's the next team that's going to be running the East for a bit. You're convinced the Pats are going to be as good as they have been because, imagine this, people came back from opting out. They actually went out and spent
a lot of money,
$150 million. People don't realize that, which is why I keep saying that's game three, by the way, for the Saints. That is not the same Patriots roster that it was last year on two fronts. A, you have star players and starters that opted out.
Especially on the defense.
Due to COVID back. And then Bill Belichick said, you know what? I don't like not being in the postseason. Let's open up the wallet. Which is something they don't do. But they did. Because that's the point I keep making. There's a lot of Saints fans that are like, whoa, we got Sean Payton. Great. Bill Belichick didn't make the playoffs. You have to have players. You have to have good quarterback play, which he didn't have. You got to have defensive players, which he didn't have. You got to have offensive players, which he didn't have. If not, you don't make the postseason. I mean, it's that simple. So we'll get to the Saints here in a quick second. But New England, Buffalo, can Miami, can that be a tough division?
It could, because I think everyone's still high on Buffalo. I think Buffalo takes a small step backwards this year. There's two B's that I think they take small step backwards, Buffalo and Baltimore.
Really?
I'm not really 100% sold on both of them. I mean, I think they could both make the playoffs, maybe grab a wild card spot, but I'm not anointing them the division and stuff like that, especially on Buffalo. Miami's just got a huge question mark with Tua. Plain and simple, they were looking for a backup quarterback all through the summer to have experience just in case Tua is not what we thought. We thought Watson was going
there. He's had the greatest preseason and training camp ever.
Yeah, Watson was going there before he had decided to go to the massage parlors. So they probably have the biggest question mark. I think probably in the whole NFL, the biggest question mark coming into the season just because of 2-2 alone.
So that's interesting to kind of see that division sort of play out. I don't know about Atlanta, you know? I don't know. Now, Matt Ryan didn't play in week one, but, you know, we'll see. Look, Carolina's a team that I keep trying to tell Saints fans.
Playoff bounded.
Saints fans are absolutely convinced they're garbage. They have no talent. I they played hard last year. Did it even work on, you know, two-minute drill and things of that nature per Teddy Bridgewater when he got to Denver? He goes, we didn't even do that. But they got rid of Teddy Bridgewater because they thought he didn't make plays late in the game and opportunities that they had a chance to win. McCaffrey's healthy. And every time I bring that up, Saints fans, well, that's if he's healthy. I'm like, when has he ever been really injury prone? He got injured last year. I said, your star running back, Alvin Kamara, has dealt with injuries since
he's
going to
be heavily used this year.
But that's what I'm saying. So, like, before we start going, well, if he's healthy, I'm like, well, if Alvin Kamara's healthy too, I mean, we can play that game with anybody. But McCaffrey's pretty good. I don't even want to focus on the offense. I think Sam Darnold's better than people are giving him credit for in this aspect.
He's got a big chip on his shoulder coming in.
Well, look, again, the great Joe Brady or whatever his name is, you know, that turnaround LSU, he got interviewed as a head coaching candidate this year for crying out loud. He needs that offense to work. Matt Rhule needs that offense to work. But I'm looking at the defense. They picked off Lamar Jackson and the Ravens quarterbacks 5 times in a joint practice yesterday. J.C. Horn has like 10 interceptions in training camp this year. Now, again, you can say, oh, it's preseason.
I'll say it.
Let me tell you something, Saints fans. if your reporters that cover the team or myself kept telling you each and every day that Marshawn Lattimore has 10 interceptions, Ken Crawley, the Saints secondary, another 3 picks today, another 5 picks today, you are lying to me if you're telling me you wouldn't be excited or you wouldn't think they're a good defense. So all I'm saying is, all I can tell you is what is happening. And in a joint practice yesterday against the Ravens, they picked Lamar Jackson off and the other QBs 5 times, and it's something they've been doing though all camp, which is why I'm bringing it up. I think Carolina's going to be a lot tougher than people think.
I agree. It's one of my future bets. I have Carolina to make the playoffs this year. I know I might get a lot of beef on this one, but I think the Saints and Falcons take a step backwards this year. And I think Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, unless Tom Brady gets devastated, injured, and doesn't play half the season, they're going to the playoffs. And I think Carolina grabs a wild card spot.
So it's Ravens at Panthers. Carolina 3-point favorite on Saturday as well. Also, you have Tennessee and Tampa Bay. Bucks a 1-point favorite. I think the story this week for Tampa Bay, and we'll speak with Leo Haggerty coming up at 2:30, the slugfest that happened yesterday. Dude, Antonio Brown, I'm serious question. Does he get suspended? Like, if you throw a punch and you fight in a joint practice, or is it because of practice, does the NFL not discipline? I don't know. But I think why I'm bringing it up is because when a photo, the still image, is literally his left fist on the Titans player's right jaw, blown up
helmet
for all to see, I just kind of wonder if the commissioner goes, all right, you know what? We've never done this before. Why not today? You can now be fined and suspended for throwing punches at practice. I don't know. It's a serious question.
I don't think they can
reach on that, but.
But where's the video? Where's the video of the Raiders fight last night? I mean, I want video. I don't want pictures.
Yeah, John Gruden pulled his team off. Put him on the bus.
Did you see the pictures of the Raiders flipping off through the buses? I felt like I was back in high school flipping off the seniors when I was a freshman. Hey, you can't touch me on the bus.
You shouldn't do that.
Well, that was the only time I was going to do that this
season. You shouldn't do that. So anyway, that's the division. In a nutshell, and then, of course, the Saints and Jags. We're going to get a little bit more into the Saints here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Deuce Windham will go over what he kind of saw last week and what he wants to look at as well. He's the video guy, the X's and O's guys for the Athletic. So what did he see in those interceptions? What did he see that was good? And not just on the quarterback play, because, Raphael, this is something else I want to ask you, too. Running backs. Running back play. Like, I asked this yesterday out loud to our listeners. How many Saints players are you drafting in fantasy football? Much less drafting first at that position group in years past, right? I mean, it was Michael Thomas, Drew Brees. Of course, you would do that.
Kamara was highly.
Right, Kamara.
Kamara was highly last year.
I asked Saints fans, would you draft Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill? That's where we are, though. It's like when I said, it's funny because we have a lot of Saints fans that will call and say it's a double digit win team. Gus, calm down. Stop being negative. Stop panicking. Like, but when you have money on the line, like fantasy football, would you be willing to take a Saints quarterback as your quarterback? Would you be willing to take Callaway, Traquan Smith as your first receiver when you select in your draft? I'm not talking about round 7. I'm not talking about round 10. I'm talking about the very first receiver, the very first quarterback you take,
That's a diehard fan that would do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, because when it's on the line and you can get that money.
Well, I always tell people words are one thing. Mm-hmm. Money is totally different. Oh, Saints are going to be double digits. Okay. let me see your money on that then. Well, wait a minute.
Exactly. And that's what I mean by that. But anyway, I do think it's different and interesting on that aspect of it. But then again, we've seen teams go undefeated, Raphael, in preseason. We've seen teams not win a game in preseason. 2006, the Saints didn't look good in preseason. Drew Brees famously has said several times since then, he didn't think they'd win a game the way they played in preseason. They wound up going to the NFC Championship game. So we're just getting started. Deuce Windham, bottom of the hour. We'll hear from Jordan, the intern. coming up at 12:45 with some top stories. At 1:15, Marlon Favorite's got that other thing he's doing with Baton Rouge right now. So normally it's 2:15, will be 1:15 a day.
Well, so he'd have bumped me again if I was at home.
I would have bumped you again. I'm
right,
sorry.
Now I'm here, and now I get to yell at him.
Well, now you can stay here. Exactly. We're going to talk to Sean Fox from 97.7 Sports Talk up in Fun Row. I told you we're normally going to do this on Wednesdays, but we forgot about him on Wednesday.
Oops.
So we'll get him in today. We're just going to get a pulse from other talk shows around the state that are buddies of mine that I go on their show as guests just to kind of see how the fan base feels.
Double
around
digits.
The boot state.
That's what their fans think. Double digits.
Well, remember up there, they're closer to Dallas. They got some Cowboy fans up there. Yeah. Cowboys. Yeah. And then coming up in hour number three, Daniel Salerson, 205, NBA schedule, folks. Supposed to be released at 2:00, just letting you know. So you'll come in on that, and then we'll hear from Leo Haggerty at 2:30. That's your show. 800-998-1003 is the phone number. And then, of course, you can always tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Quick break. We'll come back on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Football is almost here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players a free shot at $1 million during week one. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching a game quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. And while you're perfecting your daily fantasy skills, don't forget to check out DraftKings free-to-play pools where there is even more cash up for grabs. Head to the app now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code LAROSE. For a limited time, new players get a free shot at $1 million during week one. That's code LAROSE to get a free shot at $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Make this the summer event at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Welcome back. We've missed you. We know it's been tough. Because rebuilding your business isn't for the faint of heart. Your business needs a jump start. And we're here to help. Introducing Surge, symmetrical speed fiber internet from Etel Business. Revved up data speeds at 30% off, plus 3 months free. We're glad you're back. And we're here to make your business surge. Etel Business. Offer valid on 3-year contract for 2 or more business services.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone!
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 is the way to give a call. Buddy, we'll take your call over in the LaRose studios. Thanks, as always, for tuning us in. I think I want to do this for the lead today. I think it's interesting.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
We're going to do college football here. All right? Ross Dellinger just tweeted this about a minute and a half ago. And I was going to talk about something else in college that I think is kind of a big deal as well. But this could be as well. He says, sources, the NCAA is moving toward signing class expansion. Now, Raphael right now is a 25-man football signing limit. But Ross Dellinger tweets for Sports Illustrated that officials are moving closer to immediately expanding the annual 25-man football signing limit in response to transfer surge, falling roster numbers. Leaders are targeting a plan to grant schools additional spots to replace transfers. Now, Raphael, that's something that we have seen and you're going to see with the, I guess, restriction taken away for you to be able to transfer. I mean, it's simple. I mean, we literally just saw a quarterback for LSU start a game last year, a couple, got benched, Max Johnson takes over, wins some games. He transfers to Auburn this year.
Welcome to the world of NFL AAA. It's no longer college sports.
Right, but my point is that what's going to happen. This makes sense, right? Because you almost have to plan for a couple of guys transferring a year?
It does, but at the same time, there's so many kids that are still in a portal and they have not got picked up. Why don't you just go to your portal and pick up class? Why expand when there's kids still in a portal trying to find a place to land?
So the way it would work and what Ross says is the extra spots would be based on a number of players who enter the transfer portal under their own volition and would be capped at a figure such as, say, 7. He says, for instance, a school that loses 5 players to the portal can sign 30 new players. A school that loses 10 players to the portal can sign 32 new signees if the cap were 7. The replacement cap has not yet to been finalized. In fact, he says other proposals are being discussed, including one that simply increases the total number of signees to 30, 32, or 35. Another proposal still being vetted would require a school to use its 25 spots on high school players and would give a school an additional 5 or 7 for transfers. So in other words, you have your 25 like you do right now, but that's just for high school players. And then we're going to give you 5 to 7 for transfer students and stuff of that nature. Which of those plans, I gave you like 6, do you like?
I think the high school one is very intriguing. I mean, at least you can have your ballpark of if a kid's committed already instead of he's committed and he backs out. I still think college football just need to concentrate. What's going on with the seedings? What is the Pac-12, Big Ten? Are they going to merge? Let's get that settled before we start adding more players and stuff like that. Is it just going to be a Power 5 and then everybody else is free to go wherever they want? Mm-hmm. I'd rather deal with all that than signings.
The other thing that was interesting, and Jordan sent me this earlier this morning, I could have sworn we had heard of a super alliance. Have you heard that in response to Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC? I'm almost positive. Didn't the Big 12 kind of like, hey, Big 10, Pac-12, you guys want to, you know, ACC, you guys want to chat? I'm almost positive I saw the Big 12 in that 2 weeks ago, huh?
We did, but I don't think anyone wants to deal with the Big 12 right now.
Funny you say that. CBSSports.com 3 hours ago, alliance between Big 10, ACC, and Pac-12 to combat SEC expansion could come soon, per report. I mean, the Big 12 is just...
Yeah.
Adios, muchachos.
I think if that happens, which I'm hearing it's really close, I think that hurts the SEC because now you have... you have West Coast and Midwest and East Coast dominating just pretty much one mega conference. I mean, TV rights, you can have ACC playing in the morning, Midwest playing in the afternoon, and then the Pac-12 playing at night on TV deals. I think that's a huge, huge, huge market to conquer.
So what's interesting is Nicole Arbach of The Athletic reporting the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12 are, quote, expected to make a formal announcement about their alignment soon, perhaps as early as next week. So, I mean, dude, this kind of feels like a couple of Fridays ago, right, where we heard Texas and Oklahoma could be thinking about leaving, and then by the time we came back on Monday, it was done.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, so clearly if this is getting out now and The Athletic has picked it up, I mean, it's going to happen. So I'm asking you from a perspective of yours, like, where's the benefit of this? Like, what are we calling this? Are we calling this the super what? Or is it still the ACC Big Ten Pac-12 plus? Like, what is the name of the conference?
I have no clue. I think the only question is, if you're Notre Dame, what do you do? Also, be picked the Big Ten and the ACC have been wanted you to join them for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're together. So, and that's, I think that's huge for what's Notre Dame going to do. Because let's say if this mega conference picks up Notre Dame, now you have NBC money into that mega conference.
Right.
So, yeah, that's again, it just all this stuff just killed me with college sports. I can't call it college sports. Well, I just call it NFL, AAA, NBA, AAA. It's not college sports anymore.
You hear a lot of people bringing this up here, and I'll ask your opinion on this. Clearly, no one even pays attention to what Mark Emmert in the NCAA.
Who's he?
Or, exactly. I saw a report this week or something. They're trying to get somebody on a violation because I forgot, like, he got a T-shirt or something. Oh, but no, seriously, it was something like that. Are you going to see this where it's essentially it's its own entity? They come together and say, there's a commissioner of college football that they vote on, they hire, you know, almost like the NFL, like you said, and it's not a part of the NCAA. I don't know how to go about doing that, but I'm hearing a lot of that to where you have this super conference, you have the SEC, they got one commissioner that, you know, handles it all, and away you go.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if we just have a Power Five, whatever, the big
Power
the,
two,
the big
three,
boys yeah. in one conference, and then maybe Mark can control the Mountain West and the Sun
right.
Belts and
the American. What do you do if you're the Big 12 though right now?
You just have to look at all your offers right now. I mean, it's not what the Big 12. What do you do if you're Iowa State? What do you do if you're Kansas State?
Right.
If you're Kansas, do you jump over to the Big East or the ACC?
And
let Kansas Jayhawks basketball yeah. dictate where you go, not the football team.
Interesting. I said at the start of all of this, I'm like, if I'm the American Athletic Conference, I'm having a conversation with the Big 12. There's still some sort of schools there that, you know, can get you something. You have a couple of schools already in Texas and Baylor and, you know, TCU and
Iowa
you already
State.
Have, you're right. I mean, yeah. I just, to me, it makes sense if you're the American because what the American brings you, and I'm not just saying this because I do Tulane, but it's major market cities. You know, Temple's in Philly.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
they're legit cities. Orlando, Tampa, you know, I mean, they're not small towns. Houston. So
yeah.
you have nice sized markets. You have legit cities. You fly into airports. You know, you don't have to bus 2 hours and stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that it's disrespecting Coosa or Sunbelt and all that, but I've been at the airport at times traveling with Tulane and I see Southern Miss this team because they can't get flights out of Hattiesburg. Have to drive down 2 hours. They get on an airplane to go play some school. I mean, you don't have yeah. to do that in the American. So, I don't know. I will say this. I get a sense and feeling from some of my friends. It's starting to turn off. And, you know, again, is it a old man yelling at clouds, get off my lawn sort of thing? Because it hasn't even happened yet. We haven't had a game. We don't know how it's going to be. Like, I'm all for seeing LSU take on Texas and Oklahoma every year. The bigger the names, the bigger the competition. I'd much rather see that than a directional school. And I'm not disrespecting the directional school, but I like big games. I like good competition, you know, that are fair and level. I mean, I don't care for a 72-3 beating. You know, I can't get excited. Oh, Rafael Esparza, 5 TDs, 425.
Against Lamar.
Yeah, exactly.
No disrespect to Lamar.
You know, Ohio State, you know, spanked Murray State. Congratulations. You know, I mean, I would much rather watch Ohio State take on USC.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the only thing that I'm excited for is to get rid of that.
Right.
For me, for an odds maker, I'm tired of making
North
odds
Carolina,
32
Michigan
point spreads.
As
40,
a conference
yeah,
game.
Yeah,
I'm tired. In.
But all the other stuff is, like I said, I feel bad for the smaller conferences. Like, I feel bad for the Boise States, the Central Floridas.
Yeah.
The teams that have been knocking on that door to try to get invited to.
They are making sure you got no
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, and teams that they could probably make some noise. We've yeah. seen Boise State make noise already in college football. So I feel sorry for the Cincinnati. Now, if you're those schools,
mm-hmm.
you're making phone calls, Boise State, Cincinnati, UCF. You're making some phone calls and
yeah.
say, hey, you know what, Big Ten, could we join you? Or maybe you kick out Rutgers and we'll take Rutgers' spot and Rutgers can go to the Big East or some other conference.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be very interesting to sort of see how that
no disrespect
to Rutgers. To go about. No, I know. I get it. We're not. It's no disrespect, but, you know, it is what it is. Before we take our quick break, don't forget, as you know, football is here, and the regular season is almost here. I keep trying to tell you it's legal now. You can absolutely go do it. DraftKings, your one-stop shop to make it rain all season long, brings you even closer to the action. DraftKings is giving you players a free shot at $1 million. I said that right. $1 million. Now it's during week one. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, preseason's the perfect time to test your strategy, because Rafael, if you... If you don't, sorry, I kicked the power cable there. If you don't know what you're doing, this is the perfect time to practice and to get everything right. So this is the time to go do it. And plus, as I mentioned, it's a free shot at huge cash prizes. So go download the DraftKings app now and use the code LaRose. Don't forget, for a limited time, new players, you're going to be able to get a free shot at $1 million during week one. Use that code LaRose when you go to the App Store, Google Play, wherever you get your apps, whatever kind of phone you have. It's for everything. So go get it. DraftKings, log in, sign up, use LaRose, and good luck to you. Quick break. We come back. Deuce Windham of The Athletic on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
It's the Home and Auto Bundle Extravafesta Save-A-Thon, the annual year-long event where you could save big by bundling Home and Auto with Progressive. So big that we're kicking things off with fireworks, a monster truck battle, a fighter jet flyover. And it wouldn't be a party without the Home and Auto Bundle Extravafesta Save-A-Thon dancers. You can't really hear them, but trust us, they are working it. So come for the fun and stay for the savings. Only at Progressive's Home and Auto Bundle Extravafesta Save-A-Thon.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This Saturday, the hunt for October continues on ESPN Radio. It's a showdown between two of the American League's best when the AL Central leading White Sox welcome the AL East leading Rays.
Swing and a rocket rip right field. That one way back and it's gone. Wow. Eloy Jimenez.
Ain't no stopping us. We do the impossible.
The White Sox and Rays. Coverage begins Saturday at 12:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Got a couple of games tonight. The NFC South will play tomorrow. That went all the way to Monday. So the Saints take on the Jags in preseason game number two. It is kind of weird. Got to take a little bit. Deuce Windham joins us from The Athletic. Covers the New Orleans Saints film study-wise and, of course, is excellent at what he does. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Deuce, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you, Gus?
Doing well, man. I'm trying to get a handle and an understanding as to what I'm seeing. I've been called negative. I'm just like, I have a lot to, I need to see first before I start claiming this team is a playoff team. So let's just start with overall thoughts from this past weekend, and it will kind of ask you individually about some players and what you saw when you put on the tape and looked at things. But overall on the Saints game against the Ravens, give me a couple things that stood out to you.
Well, I think one of the main things, you know, I kind of, and it's definitely early. You can't take one game as a sample size and really get excited for an entire season. But, you know, just defensively, I was, you know, I think a little bit of renewed confidence, if you will, and not necessarily because of the cornerback two spot, which, you know, as much as I like Adebo, that's not enough. I need more, and I'm not trying to be negative towards him. It's just, you know, a rookie, one preseason game. I'm certainly not going to get ready for the season, but it was the, you know, totality of the linebackers playing really well, especially Zach Bond getting out there. We know Quan is coming back. He worked out with the ones here this week. And also the defensive line depth. And, you know, I got to thinking, you go back to 2017, where you had Ken Crawley as a starter on the outside, first-year starter. You had Marshawn Lattimore as a rookie, and Marcus Williams as a rookie. And this defense under Dennis Allen was 10th in points allowed and 17th in yards allowed. And then I look at this defense against the Ravens and how the starter group came out, looked really strong, moved around the field, but didn't have a lot of mental mistakes. And just looking at that, well, I don't know if they'll be a top five like they were last year, and it's really hard to think so without that number two really getting solid. You know, what I saw last night, or I'm sorry, he's been so many days, what I saw from that first preseason game is still a right in there top 15 defense. So they're still better than average. Maybe not the best until that number two corner gets set aside, but I did get a renewed confidence of the defense watching them.
I'm with you, and I think one thing, Deuce, that I'm interested in is when you lose Malcolm Brown, you lose Sheldon Rankins, you lose some interior there, they were really good at stopping a run when they were in there, especially specifically Malcolm Brown. I know we've seen Granderson and Roach and other guys in Tuttle maybe do some well, but that's with Onyemata in there. He's going to be gone 6 weeks. When you put on the tape, when Onyemata did get out the game, because he played a good amount of snaps, but do you see some things from some guys in particular that you maybe think they can sort of hold the fort together? I guess if that makes sense. Malcolm Jenkins this week spoke, and he's confident, yeah, but he did say at the end, we're a better football team with David Onyemata.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the biggest thing that David Onyemata gives you is he's by far the best interior pressure guy. I mean, and that's not trying to knock some of the other players we had. Now, I will say the first preseason game is really difficult to gauge what the other D linemen in the inside look like because he was there, like, at three quarters in. David Onyemata still playing football. So you didn't have as many snaps for some of the other guys to kind of get an idea. I will say the limited that we did see, the run fits and everything still looked really strong, looked solid, but there wasn't much of a pass rush from anybody from the inside besides David Onyemata. But we also didn't really see anybody until you get to like the third and fourth team guys. And that's just something that, you know, we're going to have to wait the second preseason game and try to get a couple of those looks from. You had some sporadic plays here and there, but most of the pressures in the second half of that preseason game were design blitzes and stuff where you'd have free DB releases and things that were getting to the quarterback. So I think that if you're watching for something on Monday night is, you know, how much do they actually play on Onyemata, if at all? And how's that interior pressure looking? If nothing else, you've got to maintain that gap integrity because I feel like linebackers that we've seen, you know, but DeMario Davis, we know Zach Bond has got a pass rushing ability and pass rushing talent. Saw that preseason game one. And then also, how does it look when Quan is playing in there? Can the linebackers help make up for some of that interior pass rush that's going to be missing with David Onyemata being out?
Speaking with Deuce Windham at Rev. Deuce Windham's the way to follow him over on Twitter. Covers the Saints for The Athletic. You mentioned linebacker. It seemed like a lot of Saints fans and people that watched the game, that was a position group that was really highly talked about, whether it was Zach Bond or even Caden Ellis with that stop on fourth down. What did you see when you put it on?
Well, I think the main thing that I see, and, you know, had a chance to go through it again this morning. I'll have a video out probably focusing on the quarterbacks here over the weekend, just to give everybody a look from the all 22 of how those QBs look. But the main thing that I noticed when it came on the defensive side, especially Zach Bond, because he's really been the talk of the town for, you know, whether fans, analysts, everybody going through the defense, is the mental processing, you know, just how quickly he was recognizing things and adjusting to them. And I put a couple plays on Twitter showing him recognizing that these design plays that are trying to trick you as a defense. And what I mean by that is you look at one of the earliest plays in the game, going into the first quarter very early on, they try to run a boot action with an outside zone run. So they basically try to drag the entire defense to the right and boot the quarterback out to the left, and then they leak a tight end out the backside to try to make an easy catch and run, usually resulting in a first down. The Saints do this all the time during the season. Zach Bond not only recognizes it, you know, was able to take a correct angle, didn't have any problem with that, showed good explosion, good awareness, and ended up being a tackle for a loss. So that type of play from a linebacker is something that you haven't had consistently besides DeMario Davis, and you know, over the past 10 years, really rare to find that. And then you see him even later in the game covering tight ends and man coverage, just being sticky, hip on hip. And that's kind of one of the things that you had drafted him for. You saw his athletic ability. Coming out of college, he had a great backpedal and just, he was the athlete that could be the linebacker more than just the pass rusher he was in college, but it was going to take time to work on those techniques. And once again, limited game. We'll see how he looks game two. Hard to keep up that level of, you know, excitement. But, yeah, I mean, right. He was a reason to get really excited if you were a Saints fan. And then there's another one, and I might even put this one on just so I can show you it, but there's one pass rush where he actually has two blockers there that he literally jukes two blockers to get a hand on a quarterback and force a bad throw. That type of, you know, inner space pass rush ability is something you don't normally see from a linebacker, and it's really exciting.
One of the things that was interesting and might have excited some Saints fans as well, Deuce, was the fact that Davenport made some plays here and there. And look, you're going to need to find somebody to combine it, to come close. You lost 13 sacks with Hendrickson. It stinks that Peyton Turner got injured in camp. He had started out nice. And once he gets healthy, I think you'll be a nice, you know, rotational piece for sure out there. At least from my eyes, in the practices that you saw. So, I don't know. What did you think of Davenport's performance, though?
Well, one of the plays that I mentioned when we were talking about Zach Baum, that wide leak that he read so well, was actually on that same backside. Marcus Davenport was the end man on the line of scrimmage, and his job is to maintain containment and then watch for the boot. And he did his job perfectly. He actually had forced the quarterback all the way back to the end zone and then forced that throw that ended up going behind the line of scrimmage to the tight end. So it was actually a dual effort. While Zach Baum did a fantastic job, it was also great recognition and great, you know, athletic reaction by Marcus Davenport that caused that play to be a bust. So, yeah, he's had some great plays. I think the question with Davenport is not always or never really has been the can he do it. It's the consistency and health. And, you know, right now he looks really good. He looks really consistent, and he looks healthy. And if he can carry that into the season, then you've got that good player you've wanted to have. And that was just one example of him having a very strong, you know, night against the Ravens. I think the only thing with Davenport is fans really struggle to get on the bandwagon just because it has been a rough start to his career. But, you know, he's had a really good camp and had a good preseason game.
All right, let's switch on over to the offensive side of things. There was two interceptions by a quarterback, but I want to look at the receiver position here. And when you see sort of them play, I think Callaway looks the part, Deuce. Some of the other guys, they're kind of learning to be that, you know? I mean, I know Lil Jordan Humphrey caught a touchdown, but even Deuce McAllister earlier this week on a Fox show said the route he maybe ran, a more veteran receiver might have been able to help Jameis on that coverage because the safety's coming in. Do you know what he means by that?
Yeah, so it all has to do with depth and spacing and then how you sell a route. And it's all about how you can form separation. This was an issue that you saw the Saints receivers have last year until, you know, Emmanuel Sanders really started getting into, you know, himself and feeling good. And then even Michael Thomas never really got that same level you were used to because of his injury. So when it comes to, you know, going through these spacings, and let's say that you're attacking the seam or you're doing a deep out, you know, across the middle. If your cut break is more rounded off instead of a dead plant and then break in, it's easier for a defensive back to stick on you and get into that potential throwing window. And it's little things like that that you get better at as you have more experience in the game. It's one of the reasons that, like, you know, even though Chris Hogan didn't have much of a game in the preseason game, he's looked great in camp because he's got all those little things down and he knows exactly how to plan and knows exactly how to cut on this route. And, you know, if we're running an option route, he knows how to fool you and run it. But how will that translate to the NFL level? You've also got to combine that with athletic ability, just simply being better than the person across from you. The little things that, like, little Jordan Humphrey has to learn. And my biggest thing with Humphrey is that he doesn't play outside of his frame. Like, he's this massive 6'4 dude. He's got the weight. He's got the size. He's got the wingspan. But he likes to catch balls in the numbers. And, you know, one thing that will also help is if he's able to just go outside of his, you know, that small catch frame and actually use his radius more, that will help Taysom and Jameis Winston.
Very good point. The running backs, I felt there was a sense of disappointment from a lot of fans, and you would think that that was a game maybe Latavius Murray could have shined, right? He wanted more snaps. He talked about that at the start of camp. Devontae Freeman's a vet, and yet Tony Jones Jr. outshined them.
100%. And I think even to an extent, Freeman outshined. I thought Freeman's feet looked quicker. I thought he hit the hole a little bit faster. You know, and not that I'm down on Latavius Murray, because I'll tell you right now, if you're a huge Tony Jones Jr. fan, I'm happy for you. I am as well. Knowing Sean Payton and how he's been, not just with the Saints, go all the way back to New York, he's probably going to stick with the veteran running back unless something insane happens. Latavius Murray is your running back, too, almost cemented unless just the next 3 weeks. You got, what, 24 days until we're done with all the cuts and everything. it would have to be an extreme upside of Tony Jones Jr. and a fall off of Latavius Murray for him to lose that number two spot, in my opinion. But I do think that, you know, you saw a great game by Tony Jones Jr. I'd even go as far as to say he was your second best receiver. I love seeing some of the things that he did as a receiver out of the backfield, which is important for him because not only was he a tremendous blocker, some of the best blocks in the game were Tony Jones Jr. helping protect Jameis Winston on the 2-minute drill, but also came through as a receiver, so he answered in all three phases, and then, of course, he can play special teams. So, you know, he's definitely one of those guys who's cementing his place on the roster, but will he become, you know, the Lynell Hamilton and you know, all these other, you know, the Travaris Cadets, the Marcus Murphys, all these guys who have been good preseason, good training camp running backs, but don't see a ton of time in the season for whatever reason because the Saints have a loaded running back room. But with them usually carrying five running backs, you know, including your fullback, which is going to be Alex Armaugh this year, I could definitely see him making the roster. But how many snaps? He has to continue having an on-fire training camp and preseason to get there.
I think the other, obviously, position that we'll get into, and as you mentioned, you're going to get a little something on that over the weekend here, but just quarterback, man, it just feels like everyone I talk to, they would have liked some separation, would want some separation. I think the games are going to be so telling. So I guess your thoughts on the two on Saturday, and what do you think you need to see from them, especially since Winston looks like he's going to start on Monday for him to get this job?
Yeah, I think it's going to be really big for Winston. You know, let's do a quick, you know, very quick recap of game one, where first drive of Taysom. To me, it's everything I needed to see from Taysom to believe in Taysom. If it would have continued, and I said this on the Hudak Confessional podcast a couple of days ago, if that first drive would have continued into drive two and drive three, I really would have just gone ahead and wrote Jameis Winston off. Taysom's done everything I need him to do to prove to me that he's a starting quarterback. But as it tends to happen, one drive is not enough. Now, that first drive had some amazing plays, and let's highlight some of them. His ball placement was really strong. I thought even though that the team was giving him limited reads, so Peyton was giving him half-field reads, so he wasn't requiring him to go through a full field or anything, but he was doing what he had to do. It's okay. Some people will hear a half-field read and think that that's the limit of a quarterback, and you can't win with that. I promise you, most of the quarterbacks in the NFL are operating mostly on things like half-field and hot zone reads. They're not going through full field like Drew Brees, so you were spoiled. They've got to dial a little bit back for Taysom Hill. That's okay because the first drive he did amazing. My favorite play being where he had a little bit of pressure and had to move to his right and connect outside to Marquez Callaway. Beautiful play, 20 yards downfield. It was perfect. The only issue that seemed to kind of start creeping in, you get to that second and third drive where pressure becomes more of an issue and his ball placement really started to disappear. And a lot of that is his mechanics. And you worry that his mechanics have started reverting back to the poor mechanics, those poor lower body. One thing Taysom's always had is he doesn't transfer power from his lower body to his top, which results in him looking like he's basically pushing the football to you.
And
when you throw 15 yards, he's strong. He can beam it. But the best way to explain that is when he tries to throw deep with that method, that's why every deep ball you've seen Taysom throw in the NFL has basically been a duck, because he's not transferring that power from the low up to the top, and it falls off towards the end. But the first drive, those mechanics were all there. So the one worry about Taysom is when some of the things didn't go right, some of those mechanics would start going back to those really bad habits. But if he can fix that, and they can see that, Taysom has really made some great strides at being a quarterback this year. As far as Winston goes, you know, Winston, I think the biggest knock was that one interception, and even then it could have been 3 feet to the right and 2 feet up. It's a slightly better ball placement, but it was the right read, and you just can't have your receiver, you know, dink it up. I mean, you can't just have guys pop balls up 4 feet in the air for it to get intercepted by a safety. Winston had a very solid day. My favorite thing about Winston was that he took the Saints 2-minute drill, which is something that, Hill honestly struggled with last year as the starter, and executed it perfectly. And he was running some normal Saints concepts. He was running the Yankee concept, mesh. He was doing four verts, which we've seen Drew decimate teams with, you know, for 15 plus years. So it was good to see that. Now, once again, one game not enough. We'd like to see him continue to show that he could be careful with the ball. I'll be honest, I love the sack he took. They called a Yankee concept that couldn't open up enough, and he basically got smashed by four guys and held that ball real tight to him and did not risk any fumble. He did not risk some crazy throw he didn't need to make. He made a smart play, which is not what you were used to seeing him do in Tampa. So even though I want to see him continue to be smart with the ball, at the same time, you brought him in because he's got the arm, he's got the extra ability to be the playmaker. He needs to show that as well as being cautious and safe on Monday night to really take that step up and really try to form a lead between him and Taysom.
There it is. Deuce Windham of The Athletic. Always appreciate the time. Thank you, sir. And you can be followed over on Twitter at Rev Deuce Windham. And, of course, with The Athletic, go give a follow and a check. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend and the game on Monday.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. We come back. You want to hear from the intern? You want to hear from the intern? You want to see what he's up to?
Is he making homemade ice cream?
No, he's in school now, man. Started on Wednesday. We'll never see him again.
That's too cool for school.
Could you imagine going back to school right now? Yeah, me neither. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Energize your business with Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. When you're elbow deep in a job, the last thing you need is to lose time and money fetching electrical supplies. Bayou Black Electric will deliver your items to the job site. There's daily scheduled service throughout South Louisiana, Lafourche, Terrebonne, Morgan City, New Iberia, and Lafayette, plus the river parishes too. If you need parts, call Bayou Black Electric Supply, 985-223-8807, Highway 311 in Houma.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same day appointments are available on weekdays with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Spicy chicken nugs. We didn't say Wendy's, but you probably thought Wendy's, and you thought right. With a unique blend of spices, these are the spicy nugs that other spicy nugs wish they were. And with Wendy's new Ghost Pepper Ranch sauce, you'll reach new levels of spicy. So you're probably thinking, where's the closest Wendy's? Get the only 6-piece spicy nuggets worthy of their name for free with purchase in the Wendy's app.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Offer must be redeemed via the Wendy's app. App download and account registration required. Not valid with other offers. See offer and app for additional terms.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
All right, welcome back. Sports Hangover, Gus Kattengill. Rafael Esparza in studio today. Join the intern 3 days in. How has school been, sir?
Horrible.
Wow.
Didn't be around to push on that one.
Look, but you know what? I'm in school. I can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day outside. It's Friday.
There you go.
I'm not going to let it put me down.
That's how you have to look at it, buddy. That's how you have to look at it. Hold on a quick sec as we welcome everybody to Top Story.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
All right, Kleber, take it away, sir. What are some today's top stories?
All right, Goosey, do we have the Jeopardy music prepared?
I have the Jeopardy music prepared. Are you here to tell us that you have a new job?
I might be telling you that I have a new job here in a few minutes. Because apparently the host of Jeopardy decided to step down after, hiring himself, just a few weeks ago?
Right.
So all of that is just mind-boggling, and then the news that was reported a few hours ago, apparently Aaron Rodgers would have taken the job if it was offered to him.
Oh, wow.
So that adds even more
intrigue
to
that. Rafael, I know you've put up props and odds in the past for that. What would have been the odds that, A, the producer would have hired himself, B, that Aaron Rodgers was going to get it.
Well, he got some of the lowest ratings when he hosted. So
really?
I don't think he would have gotten the job. I think LeVar would still have been the heavy favorite. Mm-hmm. If you went by rating-wise,
right.
I would say it would have been...
Is LeVar Burton the favorite right now?
I would say he's probably the favorite. He wants the job.
Yeah. Okay. What else you got, Jordan?
For the next story, we have none other than the king himself. LeBron James reacts to amassing zero votes for NBA's best player in the offseason survey. He then responds to that whole situation on Twitter by saying, this is his quote, "Thank you, as if I didn't need more fuel emoji, you know, more fuel to add to me." Wow. And then it says, hashtag washed.
Tell you what, man, Raphael, no one's unhappier right now, right, than LeBron James. I mean, he's begging us to keep our energy during the regular season since we're doubting that the Lakers are too old, they can't play and win. And now, Jordan, what you're telling us is, who votes for the best player in the offseason?
The players do.
The players do?
I think there's a combination of, like, players, I think maybe GMs. And then I think there's one other person that I'm forgetting. I read it somewhere in an article. I don't have it.
Why the hate, Raphael? Why the hate for LeBron?
Well, I think the hate this year is going to be the age of his team this year more than anything.
Where are the odds right now? How confident is the betting public on the Lakers?
I think they're second or third in money. It's the Nets right now. Is the
really?
Favorite, yeah.
Well, James Harden did come out. Huh? You saw that, huh? Jordan, James Harden came out yesterday and said if we're healthy – can't beat us. Like, they're going undefeated in his mind if they're healthy.
Well, apparently that's according to LeBron James, too. I mean, if AD's healthy and, you know, the old school banana boat crew are all there. They don't have ice on their knees by the second half. Then I guess they do have a fighting chance.
Jordan with the ice on your knees.
The Nets are plus 250. The Lakers are 3-1. And the next team after that
who's
is the Bucks 9-1.
The
so
Bucks.
The
numbers better than you. You start throwing this. I honestly don't know what you mean by any of what you just said. But what you're basically saying is, it's the Lakers and Nets and everyone else.
Yeah, why are we even playing?
We're just playing
for playoff seeding.
Fantastic. Jordan, anything else, sir?
Raphael, I know you're going to enjoy this one. The city of Glendale and the Gila River Arena will cut ties with the Arizona Coyotes following the 2021-22 NHL season. What is it, Raphael? Is the city of Glendale just upset that they're not going to be adding or building the new arena in Glendale, or is it just because the team sucks?
Whoa. Yeah, a little bit of both. It's a real far out Glendale than the downtown Arizona. I mean, I've been to many games. My brother-in-law has season tickets there. So it's a long drive if you're like downtown Arizona. Mm-hmm. So that didn't shock me that they pulled out. It didn't shock me that one bit.
All right, and then for the next story, I'm just seeing this a few minutes ago. The Saints released the top-rated Saints on Madden 2022 in the top five offensive players.
17-0.
Teron Armstead, a 95 rating. 2, Alvin Kamara, 94. Michael Thomas, 3 with 94. Ryan Ramchick, 89. And Eric McCoy, 83. Do you want to hear the defensive side of the ball?
Sure.
I guess. I mean, 17-0. Does it really matter what the score rating is?
Cam Jordan, 93. DeMario Davis, 91. Marshawn Lattimore, 87. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, 84. And Marcus Williams, 84. Hopefully Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's trash-talking ratings are 99.
Wow. I didn't even know if they had trash-talking ratings there.
I
said this yesterday, and I brought this up with Raphael earlier today. Jordan, again, you know, maybe you learn a little something if you pay attention on the show here. I said yesterday, are you drafting the Saints quarterback? Are you drafting a Saints receiver in fantasy football? We could all call in and say they're double-digit winners. I'm like, but, Raphael, when the money's on the line.
Words are nothing when it comes to money.
And you're trying to win that fantasy football pot. Because the reason I say that is Madden, your highest-rated offensive player is a left tackle who routinely goes in and out of the game. I just want you to understand that. Madden, Next is the running back. Then Michael Thomas, who you've not seen for 6. There's no quarterback there. They have no confidence whatsoever.
I would draft Hill in my CFL fantasy.
I'm just saying, in the NFL, if your quarterback is not in your top 5 highest rated video game people, vaya con Dios. I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean.
But, so they're not 17-0?
Dude.
Why am I here?
3 of the top 5 is your offensive line? That's your highest rated 5 players. Three linemen.
Quarterback.
3 linemen.
But who they protect? We don't even know who the quarterback is.
Three linemen.
They got to be able to protect me if I was the quarterback.
I'm a Dirty Bird fan now.
You know what? Again, it's... Well, I tell you what, though. Can you name 3 Atlanta... Yeah, well, Calvin Ridley. Kyle Pitts.
Matt Ryan.
Noodle Arm as well. Thank you, Jordan. Okay, we will
Panthers.
Chime in
switch.
With you
Carolina
again.
Panthers fan now.
145. We'll go back over to the. He's having fun. You know what? He's just leaning back.
He's probably even
going
to school.
Are you sure you're in school? Are you sure you're in school?
I want an Instagram.
Post. Yeah, I was going to say.
You know, you'll never know.
No, we need a photo on Monday in class, because I think you're just
he's
school.
Fishing with his dad right now.
He probably is.
I'm not fishing.
Never invite me.
Thank you, Jordan.
It's a beautiful day outside. I will say that.
There
you go. 100 degrees outside. It's not beautiful.
Hour 2 next on ESPN New Orleans. Bring a song and a smile
for the banjo. Better get proud again. Welcome to a place where everyone deserves to be better protected, where technology has your back, where you can have better protection and keep more money in your pocket. Where you can have protection for your car, your home, your phone, and even your digital identity. Welcome to a place where your entire life can be better protected. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Allstate and affiliates offer products and services subject to availability, terms, and conditions.
Turn heads with Samsung's new flip phone. Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G gives you more ways to flex, with statement-making colors and an ultra-compact design that fits in the palm of your hand. Or you can go hands-free to snap selfies, take video calls, and film your next viral video. It may be pocket-sized, but it's built to power creativity and maybe cause a dash of envy. Pre-order a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G today and get $150 in Samsung.com credit. Are you ready? Valid through 8/26 while supplies last at select retailers. See additional terms and conditions at Samsung.com.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all 5 of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz.
He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got